about.
You got to put it in the perspective.
Hey, mister.
Excuse me. I'm trying to read. Okay? Don't make me start over.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I'm a doctor.
Of what?
Partying.
Your friend is completely retarded, you know that?
Hey, man, my little brother's retarded. Don't use that word in derogatory fashion.
Oh. Psych, I don't have a retarded brother.
So you suck.
Well, there's something weird going on here.
You feel that sexual energy, too?
I mean, but it would be wrong to act on it.
It's a sausage competition.
Oh, in, like, sausage eating?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
King of the kubasa.
I bet it's delicious.
It is.
I know.
Stop pressuring me! What are you, an intercourse monster?
Our feature presentation.
I didn't know those monsters existed.
Yeah.
I've been an intercourse monster.
Is that right? Yeah.
Wow. Lisa's feeling sherry today.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's a Wednesday morning.
What's your rush, Kevin? Tell us more, Lisa.
Just saying, in my past, there have been times.
Mm-hmm.
I love you so much.
They were begging for pity.
Really?
Stop.
Remember we did that phone topic once on, we had girls calling in who had had pity sex, who had had sex with a guy they didn't particularly want to, weren't turned on by, just because they felt sorry enough for him that they were going to do the right thing.
Yep. I think most women have probably done that once.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
It's nice, right?
Yes.
It's our gift to the world.
How do you think I ever got laid?
Good point.
All right, here's the story that I'm most excited about. Ball State University is a college in Indiana, Muncie, Indiana. Probably most famous as this college that David Letterman attended. He's got to be certainly among the most famous alumni from that school, right?
Right.
So there's a sorority there. I guess I should have called an alumnus, by the way, before I get any emails. There's a sorority there that does hazing like they do. This is the Zeta Phi Beta. This article does not go into the details of what the hazing was, but a pledge decided she didn't want to join that sorority. She decided it was too much. Mm-hmm. She was being harassed, and she was uncomfortable, and she didn't like it, and it wasn't for her. And I guess it's been an increasing problem in recent years, this hazing at sororities and fraternities where – you know, some schools they don't even allow it. I mean, they kick you out if you do that. I mean, it's become illegal in some places because people die with some of the crazy stuff that they do for hazing, right?
Yeah.
So she filed a complaint with the police department about the hazing. And boy, did that tick off the girls in that sorority.
Oh, I bet.
As you can imagine, right?
Yeah.
They feel like, hey, closed, private club, nobody else's business but ours. If you don't want to be a part of it, that's one thing. But don't try to get us in trouble with the man. So they find out that she contacts the police because the police contact them, and they decide they're going to get some revenge on her. So they know where she lives, and they go to her apartment complex, and they decide they're going to vandalize her car. So they smear her car with dog poop.
All right.
And nail polish remover. They do damage to the body and windows that appear to be inflicted, according to the police report, with a rock or a key.
Okay.
They put a smiley face and the word bitch scratched into the vehicle in several locations,
wow,
according to investigators. Cost of repairing the car estimated at more than $4,500 as retaliation for calling the police. The best part of the story is it wasn't her car.
That's awesome.
This sorority needs to be disbanded.
Love it.
Dumb.
They're not doing anything right, are they? It turns out that the vehicle actually belonged to a 24-year-old male student who unfortunately lived in the same apartment complex.
He comes out. He sees his car, bitch. He's like, what could this be?
She comes out. She's like, woo.
So charges have now been filed, and soon to be appearing in court will be 21-year-old Brianna, 22-year-old Bianca, 22-year-old Lauren, and 21-year-old Lateria.
I hate them just because of their names.
I love them.
I do, too.
Oh, my God.
I do, too. So, good time. So, I guess the moral of this story would be either...
Get the right car.
Yeah, get the right car if you're seeking out revenge, and just kill the pledges before they go to the police, I guess.
I guess that's it.
I'm not sure that's the moral.
No, I'm pretty sure
whatever.
It is.
Well, I haven't thought it all the way through, but that would be one way to have avoided all of it.
Sure.
So, good times.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I do not think you're funny, Senor Kevin.
Wow. That's pretty specific. We have Adam Carolla on, though, and he's funny.
Yeah.
We have him on because he's funny. This Week in Rage on the program today. We have Mike Birbiglia,
who's on the program today, he has a movie, I believe, called Sleepwalk With Me. Mm-hmm. And he is an extreme sleepwalker. How does he have to sleep, Bean, is still to this day?
Zipped up in a sleeping bag, wearing mittens so that in his sleep he cannot work the zippers to get out of the sleeping bag. So he basically cocoons himself every night.
He must be fun to sleep with.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
He must do wonderful things for your relationship.
Yeah, I'll have to ask him about that.
He doesn't have one.
No.
Probably. New fall TV season. We're going to talk that with Tim Goodman from
Excellent.
Hollywood Reporter.
I need to know what to watch.
There are a lot of new TV shows, a lot of returning TV shows, and this is the time they're doing it. So we're going to get a kind of an overview on that. We have a brand new internet roundup.
Okay.
We have the Wheel of Bed Animal Voices, which is always great, by the way.
For us.
and we got the Ralph Showbiz Beat coming up in just a minute here on the world famous K-Rock.
Wednesday morning, Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
The perks of being a wallflower. I don't have to tell you about them.
Are there any?
Sure. And there's a whole movie about what they are. If you'd like to see it, it's in theaters everywhere on Friday, September the 21st. But how about a special advanced K-Rock screening?
Yay!
Of the film starring the lovely Emma Watson of the Harry Potter series as a high school teen. Paul Rudd also stars in the film, story of an introverted freshman who's taken under the wings of two seniors who welcome him to the world of high school. The perks of being a wallflower. Right now, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First three people who get through with that number will get a pair of tickets to our special K-Rock Advance screening. By the way, it was almost a wardrobe malfunction on the red carpet of the premiere of that film for Emma Watson.
Is that right?
Yeah, one of the girls almost came out. Paparazzi was going nuts. But apparently it was just covered up enough that you really couldn't quite see the whole schmageggy there. So we're going to have to wait. We're going to have to wait to get our Emma Watson boobs.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Yeah, well, sadly, there's nothing really shown in it. It looks like it's official. We just have to wait for Fox to announce it. But Simon Cowell has made his decision, and he wants Khloe Kardashian to host The X Factor.
That is not possible.
It is happening.
Wow.
Khloe also has a connection to Britney Spears and Demi Lovato, so Simon thinks she's an even better choice because the three of them will have a authentic friendship and vibe that none of the potential hosts will be able to bring to the table.
But Ralph, doesn't that violate the Kardashian family code against having a job?
It does. They might throw her out. She's the black sheep. Well, she's already the black sheep. Look, she's already the odd one out. So she might as well just completely buck the nature of that family and work.
Let's see how long this lasts.
Well, it's going to last at least a season. What's with that face?
Doubt it.
They don't fire hosts mid-season. Dunkelman made the first season of American Idol, for God's sakes.
And the guy last year made the whole season, even though he was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, she'll be on for at least a year, maybe more. Look, of all of them, she's the only one who has any semblance of a personality.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
And yet, no.
Fox is expected to announce officially that they've signed off on Simon's decision later on this week.
Babe.
You know, Chris Brown got a new tattoo. Did you see the story yesterday? He got a new tattoo on his neck of a woman's face, and it appeared to be a battered woman.
Oh, no.
Like she had a black eye and a split lip, and everyone was saying, it kind of looks like Rihanna. Did he get Rihanna's battered face tattooed on his neck? Well, they cleared it up today.
Not
apparently,
even he's that dumb.
It is not. It is, in fact, a piece of art stolen from a MAC Cosmetics design. It is a sugar skull, which is associated with the Mexican celebration, the Dia de los Muertos, or Day of the Dead. It is a half skull, half woman. And that's why the skull side gives the appearance of a battered face, but in reality they say it's a skull and the other side is a beautiful woman. It's just kind of split down the middle. So that's what gives the illusion of a battered woman, but in fact it is a piece of art to celebrate the Day of the Dead.
Even if you admire that piece of art, if you're familiar with your own history, do you take that chance that people are going to misinterpret it?
Well, I don't think...
But you're Chris Brown. You're adding
no
logic
awareness
to Chris Brown.
Yeah. If you look at the art, the original art with the tattoos based on, not in a million years would you ever associate it with a battered woman. I don't think he was thinking that. I think
it's only because he
saw this art.
People
He said, oh, this is cool. I'm going to put it on my neck. He puts it on his neck. And because he's Chris Brown, everybody looked at that tattoo. And it's a Rorschach test. People automatically saw something else because it was him. Had the same tattoo showed up on anyone else, I doubt people would have jumped to that conclusion.
No bueno.
I've had that same neck tattoo now for 4 years. Really? So he's ever accused me of beating up anybody.
Yeah. You still have Thug Life on your stomach?
I sure do.
Yeah. And then on his ass, he's got candy corn Oreos. He wrote that right over his...
That's racist.
Rusty sheriff's badge.
No, it's not.
It's not racist at all. Demi Lovato and Wilmer Valderrama are back together again. What is it with this Wilmer Valderrama kid?
Demi Lovato.
He is 32. She is 20 years old, by the way.
I don't know. He does all right, though, doesn't he?
He sure does all right. They apparently dated back in 2010. She was 18 years old.
Yeah.
He was 30.
She looks great at 18, too, by the way.
She looks good now.
She does.
And they split up, but apparently back together again. She couldn't get enough Pez. She loves that candy dispenser.
Get me.
Yeah, indeed.
Good point.
And it's an all X Factor showbiz beat. We're talking about Demi Lovato, one of the judges on that show, Chloe hosting, and now Britney Spears in the news as well, another judge from the X Factor. She has settled her sexual harassment lawsuit with her former bodyguard, Fernando Flores. You may remember Fernando as the bodyguard who claimed Britney repeatedly exposed herself in his presence and was neglectful of her children. Britney denied everything, of course, and they're saying she settled the case just in order to get rid of it. He signed a non-disclosure agreement. I don't know how that factored into the amount of money that he got, but he is getting paid off to shut up and go away. So we'll never know the true story of her lesbian threesomes and her nudity and her eating Cheetos off the floor or whatever the hell she did. But
yeah! That's hot!
I was looking forward to hearing that story. Sadly. Now we'll never know. And this is bad. This is going to be bad. DreamWorks has announced they're putting together a remake of one of my favorite comedies, a 1984 film called All of Me. You may remember this film. It starred Steve Martin and Lily Tomlin, where Steve plays a lawyer who gets inhabited. Half of his body gets inhabited by the spirit of an elderly woman that he's working with. You ever see this? She takes over half his body, Lily Tomlin.
No, but it sounds
possesses
weird.
Half his body.
Sounds like Jim Carrey should be doing it.
It was a remarkable piece of physical comedy. Steve had to be female on one side and male on the other and fighting amongst himself the whole time. It's a very, very funny film. They are going to remake this film, and it's not going to be as good. I'll just let you know right now. However, I'm looking forward to the Avengers sequel, even though it is years away. Joss Whedon was at the Toronto International Film Festival, and he was talking about the sequel to The Avengers, talking about that now that it's up and running, he plans to dig a little deeper and make a little bit more of a complex film than the first one we saw, which means a more in-depth storyline, investigating the characters a little bit more. And he also has to react to Iron Man 3, Thor, The Dark World, and Captain America the Winter Soldier, which are all going to be released before Avengers comes out. So he needs to see the big picture.
Wow.
Before he can even start working on his film. So he's got his work cut out for him, but I am looking forward to it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Ben Folds of Ben Folds 5 fame is 46 years old today. Louis C.K., very, very funny man, is 45 years old. Jason Statham from The Mechanic and The Expendables. He's 45 years old. Actor Paul Walker of Fast and Furious films, 39 years old. Benjamin McKenzie, how good is Southland? I want it back on my television right now, please.
Me too.
34 years old. Ruben Studdard of American Idol is 34. Jennifer Hudson, who also got her start on that program, is 31. Emmy Rossum is 26 years old. And Indianapolis Colts quarterback Andrew Luck celebrates his 23rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
All right, let's talk about the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. There are so many stories, we don't have time. So we put them on a wheel, we spin it, and then we talk about one and go a little bit more in-depth to that
story.
I'm
boycotting the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, by the way. I'm now on Ralph's side.
Why?
Why?
Because we never landed on Survival Kitty, and then we took it off the wheel, and I really wanted to talk to Survival Kitty.
You think you'll get over it?
I just want to know that Survival Kitty's okay.
He's fine. He's survive. His first name is Survival.
That doesn't mean anything, man. All right. What's on the wheel?
Toto, the tornado kitten.
You can have that. Another kitten.
You can have that kitten.
Okay.
A Brazilian wandering spider.
Okay.
The vicious British underground mice.
Ooh.
Thriller, Michael Jackson's Tiger in Heaven.
Uh-huh.
The Brazilian penis snake.
Oh, that's interesting.
Stinky, the sexually aggressive dolphin.
Okay.
The turtle that took an unwanted balloon ride. Harvey Dent, the two-faced kitten.
We still have
a lot of kittens on
we
the wheel.
Okay.
Badass super soldier ants. Obi, the 70-pound wiener dog that needs a diet. And Irwin, the formerly paralyzed kangaroo.
Wow.
Oh, poor Irwin. Now I'm pulling for Irwin. All right. Well, I guess we'll find out. It's time for the Kevin and Bean Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's going to land?
No. Don't know.
It's going to be pretty bad, but Kevin and Bean don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the
Go. Ooh, nice spin.
Best spin ever, I'd say. And it is Stinky, the sexually aggressive dolphin.
Stinky!
Yay!
Very happy.
I don't like
that.
The sound of this. This one concerns me a little bit. What's going on with Stinky, Kevin?
A frisky dolphin who swims near the Cayman Islands has apparently got the hots for humans. Now, this doesn't happen all the time. They're pretty sexual with each other, but they're not usually attracted to humans. But apparently, there's a shocking new video that a guy has put up who was scuba diving near that island, and Stinky grabbed him and took him to the bottom of the ocean.
Oh, no.
And then started making sweet love.
Oh, wow.
So Stinky is a boy dolphin?
It doesn't say. I don't know. It doesn't say.
I mean, if he's attacking and reaping humans, he must be, right? Wow, dude.
Took him 400 feet to the bottom of the ocean.
I think this happened, right, Bean? Didn't this happen at a SeaWorld in Florida?
Yes, it did happen. That's right. It did happen there. I forgot about that. Wow. Well, we asked producer Dave, can we please, please find out more about this story? And apparently Stinky is on the line with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Stink, what's going on?
Stinky, the sexually aggressive dolphin.
Hey, how you doing?
You have your own jingle that you bring with you?
Yeah, I'm pretty popular here in the ocean. How's it going? You want a hum?
No. No, not at all. Look,
okay.
We're not...
Okay. Okay.
We're not into interspecies love in any way.
No problem. You want a hump?
No.
No, we don't want a hump.
Sexually aggressive dolphin.
So... What's the deal? What's wrong with just making sweet love with other dolphins?
There's nothing wrong with it. I love that.
Oh, you do that too?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Do you have one favorite ride at Disneyland?
Yes, but in this case, why have sex with another species? You don't need to. It seems like it would fit better, feel better just to be with other dolphins.
Yeah. Was there another dolphin around in the story that you're reading?
No. It doesn't
mention
that.
Well, then what's a brother got to do?
It was just a scuba diver. But but dolphins aren't normally attracted to humans.
Look, any port in the storm, you know what I'm saying?
How desperate were you? How long had it been?
About 8 minutes. You want a hump?
No.
It's Stinky, sexually aggressive dolphin.
So you're grabbing scuba divers there in the beautiful Cayman Islands and dragging them down to the ocean floor.
I'm
and
dragging
then
dragging them down. You make it sound so horrible.
Well it's not
I'm
what he
escorting them. I'm escorting them to the soft, sandy bottom of the ocean.
But he didn't want to do that, according to the story.
According to the story. It's not what he said at the time. Trust me.
Oh,
sexually aggressive dolphin.
Why do you have your own jingle?
Because I'm very popular here in the ocean.
Okay.
Cover that. Moving on.
Right. Here's what I like about...
No!
Don't. Look, we're not going to have sex
with you.
You
guys are so uptight.
Yes, we are in this topic.
What about the broad? Does she want a hump?
No, I'm good. Thank
you. Once you go dolphin, you never go something that rhymes with dolphin.
It's Stinky, sexually aggressive dolphin.
The scuba diver that posted the video on his website, by the way, said reminds everyone that Stinky remains a wild animal, and in an awkward situation, you can turn into a playful killer machine.
Oh, I got it. Once you have dolphin motion, you never leave the ocean.
Oh, nice.
Sexually aggressive dolphin.
Aren't you worried about somebody fighting back, somebody stabbing you or shooting you or something like that if they're really not into your advances?
No, I'm more worried about how long you let this bit go on.
Stinky, sexually aggressive dolphin.
Why do you have your own jingle?
And now, a moment with Bean.
Also in the 9 o'clock hour, your tickets for Florence Against the Machine playing the Hollywood Bowl, and you're qualified. You're on the standby boarding list to see the band again in Paris.
Florence is against the machine?
Yeah, she hates it.
That was A Moment with Bean.
So sorry they're having troubles in that band.
They're not.
Yeah. They were getting along for so long.
Cracks are starting to show. It's sad.
Yeah.
Maybe I spoke out of turn. Maybe I wasn't supposed to divulge that information. It's insider stuff. But yeah, they're going to. I think they're going to break out. I think Florence's going to get a new machine.
Well, she's against them.
Or you were thinking about Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, that might have been it, too. Actually, that could have been it more likely. Ralph is here, 6:52. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday. What's going on?
I'd like to correct a little story I talked about yesterday about Joe Francis, the creator of the Girls Gone Wild videos.
He's still a douchebag, though, right?
Still a scumbag. Still a douchebag. Okay. I mentioned that Steve Wynn, casino mogul, had dropped a lawsuit on his head because Francis was making bogus claims that Wynn threatened to have him murdered over a gambling debt.
Right.
Now, I mentioned in the story that Steve Wynn was suing for $12 million to Joe Francis, and I announced that the jury actually awarded Steve Wynn $20 million.
Right, which made us happy.
Yes, I need to correct my original story. The jury did, in fact, award him $20 million in compensatory damages. However, they also awarded him another $20 million for punitive damages. So
Steve Wynn was only asking for 12.
So $40 million is actually the total that the jury decided Joe Francis needs to pay Steve Wynn. So I apologize for my incorrect statement yesterday. It's actually $40 million that the jury awarded him.
As happy as I am to see bad things happen to Joe Francis, it saddens me that he won't end up in a debtor's prison over this. He probably has $40 million.
Well, he has $40 million less than he had before.
That's a lot. I know. Thanks for that insight.
$40 million is a lot.
It is.
Wait a minute. Breaking Bad is good.
I got to amend the statement. The next time I do the story, I have to add that fact. And $40 million is a lot.
It turns out.
Angelina Jolie takes her job as a United Nations ambassador very, very seriously. She was recently visiting a Syrian refugee camp in Jordan, and the actress simply had an emotional breakdown. Burst into tears. Had a hard time coping with it. Us Weekly magazine reports that she was struck by how horrific the living conditions were, that she simply sort of melted down.
She's a bitch.
Hardly.
I don't think that's what we're saying.
A representative for the UN says they're trying to draw attention of the international community to express how desperate things are for the refugees in those situations, and they're hoping that the host countries will keep their borders open and absorb some of these people because it's really getting bad there.
Like all women, she needs a husband to make her complete.
Oh, would you stop?
Wow, no wonder women hate Bean.
God.
Kristen Stewart, of course, famously on the outs now with her man Robert Pattinson. Is she ready to move on with another man? Well, sources are saying she did have a very serious flirtation and get together with another actor at the Toronto Film Festival last week.
Was it a black guy?
It was not a black guy, no. It was
a Mexican guy?
Not a Mexican guy, no. No, it was not. It was James Franco, actor James Franco.
Oh. He didn't know who she was.
Two of them. Apparently he did. He was the one who instigated the things and said what a great actress she was. It was very complimentary and invited her to dinner. Sources close to Kristen said she did not accept his invitation at the moment, but she is mulling it over and deciding whether she needs to move on with her romantic life or not. So,
unless we're not getting the whole story, by the way, this appears to be a breakup where it was revealed that the woman cheated on the man and the man never spoke to her again.
Right. As far as we can tell.
Yes. As far as we know, they've never gotten together. They've never sorted it out or had that last talk or anything like that. It just sounds like it was just over.
Yep.
You don't see that very often.
No, he had an ass full. I think it was the perfect out, I think is what happened. He's like, oh, this is so great. I've been trying to think of a way to break up with her. Now I don't have to. I can be the victim. Woo! Chicks will be sympathetic towards me. And then he did the hockey fist-pumping goal dance in his living room and then moved on.
He just sent a team over to extract his stuff from her home and then just moved away, essentially.
Sent a team over to extract her stuff? It sounds like they showed up in Black Hawk helicopters, rappelled down on ropes.
SEAL Team 6 is
with night vision goggles.
That relationship.
Yeah. And NBC continues to get flack for their decision yesterday at 8:46 Eastern Standard Time when the rest of the nation was observing a moment of silence for the 9/11 attacks. On the Today Show, they continued to air their interview with Kris Jenner of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
It's only super funny because that's so worthless, that story.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a serious news story.
No, they weren't talking about a rubella outbreak or something. It was...
Yeah, and they weren't... It's not like they were in the middle of an exhaustive investigative piece. I mean, they came back to air at 8:45 and brought Kris Jenner in and started talking to her instead of doing the moment of silence first and then moving on with the other nonsense.
A lot of people upset with NBC, as you can imagine. An interesting programming choice was the kindest words that Mediaite TV blog had for them. Good Morning America and CBS's Good Morning did cut away to the 9/11 ceremonies. NBC isn't speaking out publicly about the decision, but one insider said, look, Twin Towers, Kris Jenner has Twin Towers too. Zing!
Is that true or you wrote that?
They were talking about her boob job, you see.
Right.
And so a producer close to Today Show said that. Apparently.
Right.
Well, not close. He was in the neighborhood. He was on the outside. He was not really a producer.
No.
A hot dog cart vendor, but still.
He was an entertainment reporter for the Kevin Amico.
No, he was not.
That's who he was.
Today's celebrity birthday is Ben Folds of Ben Folds 5 is 46 years old. Comedian Louis C.K., 45. Jason Statham, one of the great action stars in movies. He may be the only current action star, in my opinion, who you believe actually would kick your ass. There used to be a whole bunch of them. Now most of them are in their 60s, and you're like, okay, this is fun for the movies. Expendables 2, yeah, I got it. But Statham, if I met him in a bar, I would not crack wise with that gentleman.
Whereas you look at a guy like Matt Damon in the Bourne movies, and you go, he's acting.
Yes, good actor, very convincing performance, but I recognize him watching a movie. Jason Statham, I think, could actually do what his characters do in the movies. He's a scary, tough guy.
Yeah, I think you're right.
45 years old. Paul Walker, Fast and Furious, is 39. Ben McKenzie started off in the OC, of course, now on Southland, 34 years old, as is Ruben Studdard of American Idol. Jennifer Hudson, Oscar-winning actress and singer who got her start on American Idol as well, is 31. Actress Emmy Rossum, so good on Shameless over there on Showtime if you're not watching it, 26 years old. And QB for the Colts, Andrew Luck, celebrates his 23rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey! 106.7 K-Rock and KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Hear my whole thing. There's only so many hours in the day, and you can't watch everything.
Right.
And I feel like this time of year with the new fall season and now with all the programming on, FX and AMC and all those other channels, it feels like you're being bombarded, and it's impossible to wade through and decide what's worthy of my time.
Yes, that is correct, Bean.
We totally agree.
And that is why we asked our friend Tim Goodman to join us. He, of course, is the chief TV critic of The Hollywood Reporter. That's big time right there. Tim, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Oh, good. Just sitting here watching Little Honey Boo Boo.
All right. Well, how could you not? I know it's your favorite. Yeah. Tim, if you know, and we haven't asked you this question ahead of time, so I apologize if I'm putting you on the spot, but approximately how many new shows come out this time of year that are asking for viewers' attention?
This is actually a slow season in the fall. There's 20 this year, but there's been as many as 40 in the past.
Wow. And yeah. Out of, let's just say it's an average of 30 every year, how many of those survive to a second season? Is it usually just, what, three or four maybe tops?
Yeah, the cancellation rate for new fall shows is about 86%.
Wow, that is brutal. It is. Yeah. Last year, I remember The New Girl debuted, and that was one that seemed like it just came out of the gate and was in Modern Family a couple years before that. Sometimes a show just clicks. It just comes out of the gate. First episode, people go, this one is a keeper, and you can tell it's going to be good. Is there anything that is as exciting as those on the schedule this year?
You know, I don't think there's certainly not a comedy like that. I mean, I think Fox has maybe the only two comedies that are going to be good. The best one, Ben and Kate on Fox. And then I would say just after that, but we still need to see more from it, is the Mindy Project. But really, most of the new fall shows are bad, from either bad to terrible.
Good.
But I will say there is, and this is kind of surprising for me because I don't like a whole lot of network stuff, but I think there's about five dramas that I think actually are interesting and they might make it.
All right. Now, these are not counting the returning shows. Give us your five new shows that we need to watch.
Okay, one would be Elementary. It's the CBS's take on Sherlock Holmes, and it's got Lucy Liu playing Watson as a, you know, obviously female Watson. Mm-hmm. And then there's Revolution, which is you've probably seen 1,000 commercials for that, which is the J.J. Abrams series about all the lights in the world go out and all the electricity, and no one knows what happened. It's been out for 15 years.
I saw a screener of that, the first two episodes, and it is great.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they have kind of backed it up. You always worry about, like, what is the mystery? Are we going to go 8 seasons Lost?
Right. This is not Lost, right?
Well, let's hope it's not Lost.
Yeah.
And then the other three that I think look pretty good are Last Resort, which is the Andrea Brower one where they're on a nuclear submarine underground, and they're told to fire on Pakistan, but he's worried about how the orders came in, so he doesn't do it. And then they get fired on by U.S. troops, and he's like, you know, hightails it out, still underwater, hightails it into this, like, island and holds out. He's kind of a rogue battleship trying to figure out what's going on.
Sweet.
Wow. And I love him.
Andre Brower is incredible. I'm still sad over his Men of a Certain Age show being canceled from last year because I loved that show. But that's weird. The way you describe that, that almost sounds more like a movie than a series. I mean, week to week, we're going to see a guy hanging out on an island on a battleship? I mean, how's that going to work?
Yeah, exactly. That's a really good call, I will say that, because, yeah, I mean, it looks more like a movie, and you keep thinking, you know, what a great pilot, but is there a show there? And I think on a lot of these ones, you're going to probably have to ask yourself that.
Okay.
And then the last two are, of all things, we've got is Vegas, which is on CBS, and it's got Dennis Quaid. It's actually really good because it's got Michael Chiklis. It's this combination of it's a period piece. It's Las Vegas in 1960, where it's still kind of a cattle town, but it's also got casinos on the strip. So it's just about to turn into this, what we know now as, full-blown, you know.
Isn't that interesting? I've seen those commercials 50 times, and the first 40 times, I thought they were talking about that Las Vegas show that it was on for all those years, just coming back. It didn't even occur to me that was a different show. And in the remaining 10 times I saw it, I never even picked up on the fact that it was a period piece from the 1960s. That shows how little I, as a viewer, do not pay attention. Because, you know, these days especially, and this is the voice of Tim Goodman on the phone with us from The Hollywood Reporter right now. He's the chief TV critic. You know, these days with DVRs, you're lucky if you even see a promo because you've got your finger on that fast forward button to get back to whatever show you're DVRing. So, I mean, it's harder than ever to kind of get the word out on what these new shows are all about.
Not me.
Imagine.
I watch all of the sponsors' messages.
That is a great cast for a TV show, though, that you're talking about, that Vegas.
It really is. And, you know, it's actually really good. The caveat to all of these is we've only seen like one pilot. So it's really hard to say where it's going to go because if you remember, Flash Forward was fantastic and then it got crappy. You know, there's all these, you know, the way back when there was a show called The Nine where they went into this bank. That was great for one episode.
I love that. Right. That was great with Matthew Fox, right?
For that tiny bit of time. Yeah.
Tim, let me ask you about a couple of other shows. One, I saw the first one when they did a preview a couple of weeks ago, Go On, Matthew Perry. And I know that came back with another new episode this week. But on social media, that show is being destroyed. Is it as bad as the people I follow on Twitter are saying, or are they just being harsh on it because it's new?
It's bad, but another caveat is that there are so many that are worse than that. So it's relative.
Okay.
I saw the first episode. I was not impressed.
Yeah, so the jury's still out on that.
You have to grade it on the curve.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Also, and also on that one, I think it was like, it's basically like a kind of a dumbed down Community. And I think that's kind of what
interesting.
It's going for. Yeah, exactly.
All right, how about the controversial show that KSL in Salt Lake City won't show because it has the gays in it, New Normal. What's the deal on that? That's aired twice now, too.
Yeah, New Normal is, I think it's just like a kind of a tonal mess. You know, on the one hand, it wants to be, hugging and learning, and why can't we all get along, and everybody abnormal is the new normal, whatever. And then the other hand, it's just like Ellen Barkin, you know, spewing all this stuff, and then the gay stereotypes being way over the top. So I think it's not quite there. And again, you know, it's a Ryan Murphy show, so who knows? But, you know, in 3 weeks, they could all be acting totally different.
Yeah, right. Well, how does Ryan Murphy have so many shows? He's American Horror Story and he's Glee, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think
amazing.
That's Yeah, there's a couple of tragedies right there.
All right. <That's> Two more for you. Kevin and I got a chance to see Arrow. We got a preview of Arrow because we were interviewing those kids down at the Comic-Con this year. This is a new show on the CW that's kind of about based on the Green Arrow comic book. I thought the pilot was pretty good. What do you think of this one?
Yeah, I actually think of all the CW shows, and because most of them are terrible, that one is going to make it. I think that one fits into their target audience. I think it's really interesting. And they kind of got everything right there, whereas they kind of flopped on like Beauty and the Beast and a couple of these other ones. But that I like the Arrow, yeah.
And it has Katie Cassidy, yeah. And it was kind of Batman-esque, too, which I thought was neat. It kind of reminded me a little bit of what's going on with The Dark Knight at the movies. And the last one I want to ask you about, I know a lot of people will be scared off of it because the title is Nashville, and it's set in a country music environment. But I got to give anything Connie Britton is on a chance just because I love Mrs. Coach Taylor so much. What about Nashville?
I'm totally there with you. I am not a big country fan at all, but, like, she's fantastic. The pilot is really good. I think they set up a lot of, you know, it's basically a big time nighttime soap, and it's great. It's a little bit of music industry. It's got this competitive nature between the up and coming new star and the fading star, and
how much,
what's more poppy and what's
how much,
more country.
How much music is there on this show?
You know, that's a good question, because at some point you would say, okay, this is a little too much Randy Travis. I got to move on, but yeah, but no, I would say there's a quarter of it, so it's not like it's Glee or anything like that. So it's like a quarter of it. I think that there's a couple of songs, there's a couple of live performances, especially in the pilot, and I think they may be able to tone some of that down after a while.
Right. It sounds like a TV version of that Gwyneth Paltrow film with Tim McGraw, Country Strong, is what it sounds like.
Yeah,
you're describing.
Yeah,
yes, it does, which means I don't want to watch it. All right, well, there's... go ahead. I'm sorry, Tim.
I was going to say that you guys didn't even get to the worst show. I'll just toss it out.
Please. Please.
You're going to want to know it, but it's The Neighbors.
The Neighbors.
I haven't even heard
about that one. What's wrong with that one?
Steer clear. They're aliens. They come to our planet and they live in a cul-de-sac. It is terrible.
That sounds
terrible.
Bad enough to almost be watchable.
It's not.
Well, for all the talk of Boss and Breaking Bad and Dexter's getting ready to come back, Boardwalk Empire and Homeland, yeah. For all the talk of we do live in the golden age of television in some respects, there is also a lot of other stuff out there. That's why we wanted to have you on, Tim, so we could help our listeners navigate a little bit about some of these new shows, because it is almost impossible to watch them all. Although I will say, as we say goodbye, this is a better time than ever to miss a show, because if you turns out you're wrong on something or you don't get to it, it seems like almost everything goes up online right afterwards. You still have a chance to go back and pick it up. It's not like you miss it and you can never see it again like it used to be.
Yeah, before when you had like 30 shows, you picked four or five to watch maybe, and then the other ones you just either didn't know or they died. So it's
exactly.
A little bit easier now. I think it's a little bit easier now, but still it's crazy for people trying to figure out what the heck they're going to watch.
I just give it 3 weeks, and then
whatever's still on the air.
Yeah, the ones that are left, I give a try.
Yeah. Neighbors 1 week.
Yes, because that's all it'll be on. Tim Goodman is the chief TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter, and you can follow him on Twitter, and you should, at Bastard Machine. Thanks, Tim.
You bet.
Who is going to be what judge of what singing show? That seems to be what everybody is asking. the X Factor, the American Idol,
yep.
They're losing people, they're adding people, the names are out there. But it looks like Simon Cowell has made his decision, and starting tonight, I think. Is it tonight or was it?
Well,
is that American
here's
Idol?
What's happening. Here's what's happening. X Factor, when it comes back, is doing the audition show, so they don't need a host.
Okay.
So what you're talking about is Simon Cowell has made his pick for who he'd like to see hosting the live shows when those come to the air in a couple of months.
Now, you're not going to believe it, but it's Khloe Kardashian.
I don't believe it.
Bizarre.
What makes...
Although she does come with a built-in fan base.
I guess, but how is she as a host of a...
No idea.
Well, why don't we ask her, Kevin? Khloe's on the phone with us right now.
Hello, Khloe?
Hello, who is man?
Oh, Lamar.
Oh, hi, Lamar.
I'm sorry. Producer Dave was calling. He was trying to get Khloe on the phone.
Damn, man, it's early.
I know, sorry.
I apologize.
Let's sleep in, man.
And it's your summer vacation, too. You don't need to be getting up. I'm sorry
about
that. I was
up all night eating candy.
He's been on summer vacation for a long time.
Yeah, that's true.
Is Khloe there?
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, damn, man. Okay.
Sorry.
Khloe! You're on the radio. I saw you on the phone.
Does she understand that?
Oh, wow.
She must.
Here she comes.
Hello?
Hi, Chloe.
Oh, hi, Frank. Hi, Heidi.
No, nope. it's Kevin, Kevin, still Kevin and Bean.
Kevin and Bean.
Hi, Carson. Hi, Daly.
You know that's one guy named Carson Daly, right, Chloe?
Hi, Ryan. Hi, Ellen Kay.
Listen, it's Kevin and Bean from K-Rock, and we wanted to get you on the phone, Kevin and Bean. We've talked to you many times before, Chloe.
Well, I talk to a lot of people. What do you want from me?
I know you're very
popular. Busy.
Right. Simon Cowell, according to TMZ.com, has made his decision that he would like you to host The X Factor. He has sent it up the chain to the network heads at Fox, and now he is waiting to find out whether they approve. So it looks like this is going to happen. Everybody's expecting you will be the host of X Factor.
Yes, it's going to happen. I'm super excited about it. So welcome to the brand new season of The X Factor.
What is going on here? What was that?
I'm just me practicing with my intro music.
Oh, I see.
And now here's Kevin and Bean to try to do radio.
Okay. Chloe, it's nice.
Thank you. Thank you. Uh-huh.
Besides playing a Wookiee on Keeping Up with Our Kardashians, do you have any kind of experience hosting anything or getting up on stage and talking in front of people or being an announcer?
I had my own radio show in Florida, you forget. And another one in Texas, you forget.
Radio, not exactly the same as TV.
No, not exactly the same, but it still involves entertainment-ing
right.
For people and for introducing things and uh-huh. stuff and talking to people and things.
Right, yeah. but you know this means you're going to have a job. You're going to be responsible to be someplace at a certain time and do something that someone else tells you to do. That's not the Kardashian way.
It is for me because I'm a rebel. I don't play by the rules. I think you guys are just jelly.
Jealous?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
And now here's two jealous DJs from Morning Radio, Kevin and Bean. I've got it down.
You do.
How do you get along with the judges on the show, Britney Spears and Demi Lovato among them?
I know Britney and Demi for a long time now. We all hang in the same circle of obnoxious white rich people. And we're at all the meetings together. And so it'll be great to be reunited with them. And Simon's just great. And everything's going to be great.
Right now, though, how about this? A brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Go to kevinandbean.com. You can see all of these videos and more videos. There's usually, I don't know, 3 to 5 more that we're unable to pull audio from because there aren't any. In this particular case, the Chicago Bears stripper pull fail at the Bears opening game is awesome.
Sounds very promising.
They're tailgating. They have a pole. She's at the top of it, and she does a face plant. And it's so spectacular. And then there are a bunch of other videos that we do have some audio from. This one is, you know, the Gangnam Style that we've been playing you.
Sure.
From Psy.
Oppan Gangnam Style.
Nothing hotter. Nothing hotter, right? They did this at the MTV Video Music Awards, the whole thing. Well, you know Honey Boo Boo as well. Because mm-hmm. Bean's been bringing in highlights of Honey Boo Boo. Well, Dave the King of Mexico contacted Mike Realm, who is a genius, Mike Realm.
World's greatest video remixer.
He remixes everything. And Dave said, you ought to do something with Honey Boo Boo because it's a sensation. So he put together Honey Boo Boo Style. Mike Realm.
Dave suggested this?
Well, Dave suggested Honey Boo Boo.
Okay.
But Mike Realm put it together with Gangnam Style, so it's Honey Boo Boo Style.
Awesome.
And it is unbelievable. It is fantastic.
Wow.
First of all, amp radio, get on that. You should be playing that every hour. Second of all, how much time must it take Mike Realm to make one of these videos?
I will tell you, Bean, because at the end of it, he gives Dave a shout-out at the end of that video.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And then Dave was telling me that he got it. He sent Dave a message saying, I got inspired last night and I did this.
So he did it in one night?
One night.
It looks like it would take 4 weeks in a basement.
That's because it would take us 4 weeks in a basement. Somehow,
oh, my God.
Yeah, one night.
Genius.
Yeah. The Democratic National Convention, the movie.
Oh.
Now, clearly it wasn't a movie, but this reporter thinks it was.
What was Obama like to work with as a director?
Well, he's not a director. He's the president.
Like Soderbergh.
He doesn't direct. He's the president of the United States. Of
which he and he directs America. Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, my God.
That's so funny.
Right? It's very funny. She's very funny. Bane, the telemarketer, with Chris Kattan. This is, of course, from the Batman series. Bane is the bad guy, but now he has gotten out of jail, and he's just trying desperately to find work. And this time it says a telemarketer.
I'm Bane. I suffer from alopecia.
Oh, these are his workmates making fun of him, and he can hear them.
I'm a gay robot.
Hey, I don't sound like that. I am a gay robot. Oh, my God, I do sound like that.
It's just him trying to get by in the world.
Poor guy.
It's a funny series. The new guy is coming back soon with Zooey Deschanel. This is the new guy.
New girl?
New girl, sorry. This is the new guy on The New Girl.
Oh.
It's a parody. It's Regis Philbin, who just decides he wants to be on the show, crashes the party, and starts barking out orders.
Regis hates Max. He hates him.
There's a bus, goes off the embankment, kills Schmidt, kills him dead. And the next episode, business as usual. You understand that?
They were right about the broad, though. Yeah, that Zooey? Dynamite. Firecracker. A cold I'd like to catch.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a little scary. You remember an older song, Baby Got Back, a classic?
So, fellas. Yeah. Fellas. Yeah. Has your girlfriend got your butt? Hell yeah. Shake it. Shake it. Shake it. Shake it. Shake it. Shake it. Shake that healthy butt. Baby got back.
Come on.
Come on. What's better than Sir Mix-a-Lot?
Ian McKellen. Sir Ian McKellen. Doing from, of course, X-Men. He was Magneto. He was in Lord of the Rings. This is a guy who's doing an impression of Ian McKellen, who is reading the lyrics from Baby Got Back.
Has your girlfriend got the butt? Hell yeah. Tell them to shake it. Shake it. Shake that healthy butt. Baby Got Back. I don't know what any of that means whatsoever.
That's a pretty good impression of Mr. McKellen, by the way.
There's a spoof of Taylor Swift's new crap. Her song,
her fantastic number one song.
We are never, ever, ever, ever going to get together. And this is a guy singing to her, and she's singing back. It's a pretty well-done spoof.
Taylor, I think we need to talk.
About what?
Maybe you and me should take a break.
Who is she?
There's no one else. I just need some space.
You, I will make you pay.
What?
I'm gonna add you to my list.
What list?
I'll write a song about your baby.
It's average.
I'm gonna cry and then I'll tweet a pic. I'll say he cheated, then dump me. Hashtag Team Tay Tay.
The truth, isn't it?
Pretty good advice. Yeah, well, she does tend to write about you if you do. It's a very well done video. You totally have to see it.
And finally, Jimmy Kimmel with This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
Needless to say, here is looking forward to having the president with, so to speak.
This is something that I've dreamed about ever since I was a little boy, in front of the mirror with my dad.
Is this a night that you've been looking forward to for a while?
In the Cowboys' butts, absolutely.
If Mitt was Santa Claus,
right,
he would the reindeer.
What?
And the elves.
Wow.
Seems bad, right?
I read the interview that Jimmy Kimmel did with TV Guide this week, because he's on the cover. They're talking about him hosting the Emmys, and he said it took so long for him to get approval from ABC to start doing that feature, which is one of the most popular things that he does this week. He said every week he would go in there and pretty much bang his head on the wall going, look, guys, you understand, no one is swearing. There's zero cursing in this. We're beeping it. That's why it's funny. And eventually they let it on the air, and now it's fine. But I guess it was a little bit of an uphill struggle for him at first, but they're always so funny.
You can find those. You can find the spoof of Taylor Swift, the Ian McKellen thing, Bane the telemarketer, Mike Realms remix. You can find all those at Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup at kevinandbean.com.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday.
Before I get to showbiz news, I do have tickets to give away to the very special K-Rock advance screening of The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Mitt Romney says no.
Well, good. I don't want Mitt to see it anyway. The movie's too good for him. It's happening at the Landmark on Thursday, September the 20th. I've got two pairs of tickets left to give away. 1-800-520-1067. Two pairs of tickets right now if you call in. The movie's in theaters everywhere on Friday the 21st, by the way. So if you don't get in to see it early, you can still see it the next day. But if you do get to see it early, then you are better than all of your friends. Don't forget to lord that over them when it happens. So
they'll love you for it.
Looks like a good movie, too. Emma Watson from the Harry Potter trilogy. Quintuple tree, septuagintree, and Paul Rudd also stars in the film, so that's good. Speaking of tickets, thanks to everyone who bought tickets for Hollywood Babylon this weekend. We sold out already.
Second show, 10 o'clock.
No. We're giving away those Batman Live tickets. I think that spurred people to who otherwise would not have purchased tickets to go down and buy them, so we appreciate that. Don't forget, 8 o'clock, the new time, so get there early, have something to eat, get good and loaded, then we'll come on and we seem less bad when you're drunk.
A good half hour drinking before they come on stage.
It's always a good idea. Let's take a look at an interesting list from CelebrityNetWorth.com. Just released the richest lead singers in the world. These are the gentlemen who either lead bands or are solo artists. The richest musicians in the world, according to CelebrityNetWorth.com. The numbers may surprise you. Mick Jagger, by the way, is fifth, for example.
Oh, wow.
Now you'd think lead singer of the Rolling Stones.
And all this time
would be higher. He'd have more money.
Every single tour the Stones go on seems to be the highest grossing tour of all time.
And tickets always seem to be $400 a piece.
Right.
But still, he pales in comparison to four other gentlemen.
Ryan Gosling,
not on the list, not a musician, not a singer. Stop it. Elton John is fourth.
Still. Wow.
That Vegas deal is a sweet gig for him, by the way. That's just a money maker. It's just an ATM right there.
I've seen him lately. He's getting shorter and fatter.
Well,
he's like an Elton John McNugget.
Time is kind to few, Kevin.
That's true.
Third on the list, this is the one that shocked me.
Dude from Al City?
Meatloaf. Peebo Bryson. Who else you got? What else you got there?
Angela Lansbury.
Okay. Claude Akins. Barack Obama. Anything else you want to play?
Come on.
Victor Fuentes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Betty White.
Bill Haley and his Comets.
Bill Haley and the Comets.
Why do you have these?
Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Kenneth Babyface Edmonds.
Loveline Loverboy, Mike Catherwood.
Nope. He's also not third on the list.
All right, let's go back to the list. Who's so you got
Mick Jagger. Why do it now when you're being so wildly entertaining?
We're out. And then Elton John.
No, trust me, he's not out. He's far from out. Jimmy Buffett.
Oh,
wow.
Snap.
Yeah.
He is wasting away in lots of Moneyville.
Wow. Is he touring a lot?
Yep. He tours every year, and he has one of the highest grossing tours every year that he travels. But he's got a diehard fan, and he's also a genius investor and stuff, too.
Oh, is he? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's bought a lot of real estate in Florida where he makes his home, and he's got a restaurant franchise that he's opened. He's got all kinds of different endeavors going on. He is worth $400 million, Jimmy Buffett.
Wow. That's shocking.
Of all the musicians, of all the singers, he is third.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy when you think about everybody out there selling records and touring and stuff?
Well, now, he did have that one hit in 1977.
That's what I mean. You would never guess that the guy who had a couple minor hits in the top 10 would be such a huge success.
So he's making more money than Lady Gaga, basically,
is what
you're telling me.
He's a businessman.
Making more money than Elton John and Mick Jagger, that's for sure.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Next on the list at number two is Bono.
I would have pegged that for number one. That was my guess.
No, he probably would be higher in the list if his investment in Facebook didn't just bite him in the ass.
Ew. Oh, that's right.
He's worth $600 million right now. This is after Facebook took a dump on the market. So,
I only had one name in mind, Ralph, when you started this list.
Peebo Bryson, who are you going to play? Claude Akins, okay.
No, I was being serious.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ray Parker Jr. I don't know. What do you got?
Is it Paul McCartney?
It is Sir Paul McCartney.
Has to be Paul McCartney, right?
What? Tops the list with $800 million.
And this is after he's had two divorces that have cost him a ton of money,
by the way. He's given a lot of money away to charity and to wives, and yet he still's worth $800 million.
As my friend Kevin Roddy would say, that's a lot.
Think, Kevin, about the catalog of music that he sells every year. I mean, the Beatles are still among the best-selling bands of all time.
He doesn't have the publishing rights, though, still, does he?
Every year. No, he bought them back.
Oh, did he buy them back?
Every year, though, the Beatles still sell as many records as almost everybody. So, I mean, he's got so much. Plus, he tours, and, you know, he's... And he bought tons of song catalogs, too, remember? Yeah. He owns other people's song catalogs.
Like Roy Orbison and Buddy Holly.
Yeah, he owns a ton of other songs, too. So he knows what
he's
doing.
And he has a paper route.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That puts him over the top. That's where he gets most of it.
And a lemonade stand in front of his house.
It's an extra $24.50 a week right there. Right.
Today's celebrity birthday is Ben Folds. Not on the list, but he is, of course, a singer-songwriter from Ben Folds 5, 46 years old today. Louis C.K. is 45. Jason Statham from Expendables and Mechanic and Transporter, 45 years old. Paul Walker from the Fast and Furious films is 39. Benjamin McKenzie from Southland, 34 years old. Ruben Studdard's also 34. Jennifer Hudson is 31. And Emmy Rossum celebrates her 26th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Do yourself a favor, by the way. Pick up that Alex Clare album. That's the song. And I know you're thinking, oh, it's just that song for the Internet Explorer commercial. The whole album is great. He is super talented, dude. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday. Our friend Adam Carolla joins us later on. Right now, though, Mike Birbiglia is on the line with us. He is in a super secret studio in Manhattan right now. Hey, Mike, how are you, man?
I'm good. I didn't know it was the Internet Explorer ad. That's great.
That's where most people hear that song is on the commercial, yeah. Now, Mike, of course, is a comedian and an actor, and he is the star of a new film that is called Sleepwalk With Me that is currently in limited release. It's playing in about a half a dozen cinemas or so around Southern California. It's also available on demand, which is where I saw it. And I got to tell you, Mike, I didn't know that much about sleepwalking, but I've decided I don't want it. It's not fun.
Oh, you don't want it? So that you're not going to sign up for it?
Can you make a choice? Is that how it works?
Yeah, I think that's how it works. Most things are like that. Cancer, AIDS, sleepwalking.
Just make a choice.
But what never has been revealed to me, and it wasn't in the movie and I haven't seen it in any of the interviews, is how did you start sleepwalking as an adult? Because you didn't have this problem as a kid. It started with you like 10 years ago, right?
Yeah, it started with like in my 20s. And I was living with my girlfriend in college. I depict it in the movie a little bit differently, but I was living with my girlfriend in college, and it was a secret. So like we wouldn't tell because my parents are really conservative. So they wouldn't go for me living with my girlfriend. And so what we did is we would – when they would visit us at college, we would take all of her stuff and put it in this other room. And then – I'm not making this up. We would close the door to that bedroom, and then we hung a tapestry in front of the door as though the room didn't exist. No, it was like an episode of Three's Company.
Wow.
And but it was real, and it caused me a huge amount of anxiety, like so much anxiety, and that's – And that's when I started walking in my sleep.
It was the woman.
It was the woman and my parents. I'm just an anxious person.
So stress can cause sleepwalking. If somebody has never had it before and they're an adult, all of a sudden they can start sleepwalking just because their brain is too active or something while they're asleep?
Well, truthfully, I think it aggravated what I already had. I was later diagnosed with what's called REM behavior disorder, where people basically have a dopamine deficiency. Dopamine is the chemical that's released from your brain into your body when you fall asleep that paralyzes your body so you don't do what's in your brain. And people who have this are commonly running away from a demon or a wild animal. In my case, it was like a hovering insect like a jackal.
You would physically react to that?
Yeah, so in other words, like I remember in college I had this dream that there was a hovering insect like jackal in our bedroom, and I would jump on the bed and I would strike a karate pose. I'd never taken karate, but I had the books from Book Fair when I was a kid, and I would say, Abby, there's a jackal in the room, and she would say, there's no jackal, go to bed, and I would say, are you sure? She would say, yes, there's no jackal, go to bed, and I'd say, okay.
Is karate the way to attack a jackal if there is one?
Well, yeah, I think karate is kind of a one-size-fits-all solution for
that. Obviously, Kevin, don't ask silly questions.
Sorry.
Come on. This is the voice of Mike Birbiglia here on the Kevin Bean Show. Again, we're talking about his film in limited release called Sleepwalk With Me, also available on demand. I was also surprised because I heard the Fresh Air story, and since then I went back and listened to the Moth story, the story that you did on the podcast, which I guess was the very original telling to the world of your Sleepwalk story, right?
That's right, yeah.
What really surprised me, though, is literally it seems like you've made the movie of that story, like without exaggeration, like the story you tell about jumping out the second floor window.
Second story window, the La Quinta, and Walla Walla.
I mean, it seems like that you told that story because that's how it happened in real life, but then you made it exactly like that in the movie rather than try to over-dramatize it for Hollywood. I mean, you made a very truthful version of your real life.
Yeah, it's a very it's a subtle film. It's got really great performances. Lauren Ambrose and Carol Kane plays my mom, and James Redhorn plays my dad. I got like really strong actors to play a very, you know, yeah, it's a very truthful version of the film. It's not, yeah, there's nothing overdone about it.
Yeah. Mark Maron is in the movie, you guys. Kristen Shaw, you got a lot of great cameos. And you also, in addition to the sleepwalking story and how your character is fighting that, you also at the same time are learning to become a stand-up comedian. Now, is the timeline also accurate in your real life about the time you started sleepwalking? Is about the time you decided, hey, I'm going to be a stand-up?
It's pretty close, yeah. Like, I in the film, I start talking about my relationship going poorly, because I was in my relationship with my college sweetheart, and I kind of knew that it was doomed. Like, I knew it was going to end.
Right.
And it was going to end badly because we were so close and our families were close, and we started talking about getting married, and so then I started talking on stage about it. Like, I didn't want to talk to her about it, but then I was talking to strangers about it.
I was
like, you know, I've decided I don't want to get married until I'm sure that nothing else good can happen in my life, which is frankly how I felt about it. I mean, I really did. And then that's the conceit of the film, is that she doesn't know about that I'm on the road kind of telling how I really feel to other people instead of her.
How are you as a stand-up now, do you think, Mike?
I'm pretty good.
What's he supposed to say, Bean?
This isn't that close to you guys, but in my fall tour, I'm in Lancaster, California. I'm in Irvine.
I've got it right here. You're
Thousand
Oaks, November 2nd, in Irvine on November 3rd, and this is your off-Broadway show that you just wrapped up, My Girlfriend's Boyfriend, which is another kind of long-form storytelling evening that you do, right?
Yeah, it's like a one-man show. It's kind of it's a hybrid between stand-up and one-man shows. But I'll tell you something funny is that Roger Ebert did a review of Sleepwalk With Me, the movie. He didn't know I was a comedian because I'm not that famous. And so he wrote, I don't know. And it was a really nice review. He gave it 3.5 stars. But he goes, I don't know if Mike Birbiglia has a career as a comedian, but I like this movie.
Nice. That's awesome.
I was like, well, that's the only thing I actually do have going for me. Like, that's the only thing I know that works.
The film is well worth checking out. Again, called Sleepwalk With Me in limited release. You can see it. It's in Pasadena and North Hollywood, Santa Ana, Laguna Niguel. Check your listings to find out or see it on demand, which is how I did. I totally recommend it. Sleepwalkmovie.com is the website, and on Twitter @BeerBigs. Yes, you wanted to say one final thing?
And thanks for having me on, because I've been listening to you guys when I'm out in Los Angeles for years, and I've always wanted to come on, and I've never been able to get booked on the show, but it's only through the power of Twitter.
Yes.
Because I was tweeting at you guys last week. And you guys were like, yeah, come on.
So here I am. I wasn't in the loop to cut you out.
Yeah. I'm glad it worked out, but it'll never happen again, Mike. Thanks for the time.
I can't believe this. This is unbelievable.
When was the last time you went to KevinandBean.com and visited the Kevining Gallery?
This morning.
It's just growing by dozens a day. It's the international sensation that is sleeping the world. Picture one, by the way, after your original photo that we're all making fun of from the Arclight Gallery Theater, is
Arclight Theater Gallery, I should say, is Dana White, president of the UFC, doing a little Kevin yesterday. He looks like he's having a great time doing it, too.
He walked down the hallway, and Dave was sort of trying to explain it to him, and then I sort of started, and then Ralph just turned his computer screen, and there was the picture of me, and Dana White almost fell over. He thought it was the funniest thing he'd ever seen.
Which is the same reaction that Sarah Shahi had yesterday, yeah, when she saw it, too. She couldn't wait to Kevin, but thank you so much to all the Kevin and Me listeners who are sending in their photos. We've got, here's a guy at an Angels game, here's a bunch of little kids, here's some people down at SeaWorld, people in offices, people in parks, people at restaurants, group Kevining photos. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, but
there's
nothing more fun, huh?
We're having fun, aren't we?
So I'm saying go to kevinandme.com, check out the gallery, and then send in your photos so we can add you to the gallery. All right, here's a topic I've been dying to get to for the last couple of weeks since Ralph broke this story. As you know, Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel have been engaged for some time, and they're going to be married. According to one report in Star Magazine, there's a little bit of a fight, though, about the wedding, because Justin Timberlake would like to invite his ex-girlfriend and still very close friend, Cameron Diaz, to the wedding. According to this report, and I don't know if it's true or not, Jessica Biel is putting her foot down and saying, no, you can't invite Cameron Diaz to the wedding. She's an ex-girlfriend. It's not appropriate. I'm putting words in her mouth, but I'm assuming this is what she's saying. I don't want her to be there. It's my day. Blah, 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 blah.
Red flag, first of all.
Blah, 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 blah. I sense prejudice here.
Well, being is anti-woman. You know that.
I do.
No. I'm saying blah, 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 meaning she may have other reasons that are not in this article of why she's saying it. But my impression is that she feels like they're an ex-girlfriend, somebody that you're still friends with, doesn't have any place at the wedding. And yeah, Lisa, I don't understand that way I'm thinking, because hasn't she already won at this point? Hasn't Justin Timberlake already broken up with Cameron Diaz years ago and has chosen her and is marrying her? It's not like there's a competition anymore between these girls and Justin,
there's
right?
There's always a competition between girls.
Hasn't she already won? I don't think she's looking at it as a win or a loss. I think it depends on her relationship with Cameron. If it's not good, if they're not friends, then that might be uncomfortable for her. And why should she be uncomfortable on her wedding day? If they're friends, then there's no problem, obviously.
All right,
I think if there's an issue, then you need to respect
that question. Because it's not just her wedding day. Because it's also her groom's wedding day. And doesn't he have the right to have...
That's funny.
Right?
Doesn't he have the right to have people he considers friends that he would like to stand up for him on his big day at the ceremony also?
I'm guessing she would be fine with all that weren't in bed with him.
Yes, I agree.
Look, so what? Jessica Biel doesn't believe that Justin Timberlake can just be friends with an ex-girlfriend? That somebody, he couldn't have developed a friendly relationship with this woman after they broke up, and that might not be it's a legitimate friendship by all accounts.
It might be as simple as she doesn't want it to be an issue for anyone. She doesn't want it discussed. Did you see Cameron's here? Oh, that's
maybe
really weird. Wow, what's going on?
So in other words, she's going to marry this guy, and she's going to say, yeah, I'll walk down the aisle with you, but I, before we even get married, I'm going to start determining who you can be friends with and who you can invite to functions.
No, I look at it as when you get married, you have to compromise. Both sides have to compromise, and this is a pretty reasonable compromise for your wedding day.
I'm guessing that most girls would see it this way. Most girls are that bad? It's not bad. I'm guessing. I don't have any idea. We'll take your calls. 1-800-520-1067. This is a former lover.
Right.
I mean, you painted it up with such a broad stroke, like she's going to tell him who he can be friends with. No, but do you want somebody that used to be his ex-girlfriend at your wedding?
And they dated a long time, right?
And they're still good friends. And
that's my point.
It doesn't say anything about her forbidding him to be friends with her.
And I'm not suggesting that, but I am saying that it's also his wedding day. And if Cameron Diaz is a close friend of hers, which by all accounts she is, he should be allowed to invite a close friend to the wedding. Again, there's not a competition anymore.
But I think that's a special day, and on a special day, you both compromise and make sure the other one is comfortable.
I, first of all, love women. Bean hates them.
But I am going to say
that I find it cute that you say it's his day, too.
It's not. Look, I
that's
don't
funny,
hate women.
Because it isn't.
It's a wedding member, and I'm guaranteeing you she put a lot more thought and effort into this wedding than he did, too.
I would be more impressed if she had a little dignity and if she had a little confidence in the fact that this is that she's the bride, the focus is going to be on her, and if he wants his friends at the wedding, that's not that much to ask. He's not saying, hey, invite her to the wedding, and then I insist on a threesome that night. He's not trying to bang her at the reception. He just wants her to be there because they're friends.
Maybe she'd say yes for the threesome.
She doesn't want to be uncomfortable. I don't think that's much too much to ask.
We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Should Justin Timberlake be allowed to invite his friend Cameron Diaz to the wedding if it makes his new bride, Jessica Biel, uncomfortable? That's the question. Your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat coming up in minutes. Right now we're talking about the story out of Star Magazine that says that Jessica Biel and Justin Timberlake are planning their wedding. And the hitch is that Justin Timberlake would like to invite his ex-girlfriend and close friend Cameron Diaz to the ceremony. Jessica Biel says no, says I don't want your ex-girlfriend there. Now, Lisa, you were saying, of course, there's a lot in this article that we're all suspecting. You were saying that you think maybe there's, what, some bad blood between the two girls, and that's what's going on?
It's possible they're not friends. They don't really get along. There could have been some snarky comments back and forth. I mean, it might not be as simple as he used to date Justin, and so that's why he can't come.
We're taking your calls on it at 1-800-520-1067. My opinion is you're already the bride. If it's important to the man that you are marrying to have a friend of his there, then you can just be courteous for a couple of hours to that person. Even if you're not good friends with that person, let your husband have a friend. That's what I'm saying.
I can see that. Do you think that the celebrity factor matters? Is it?
Yeah,
Meaning that the tabloids will trump it up or something like that?
That there's more talk than there is at your or my wedding. No one cares. But if you're Justin Timberlake, all of a sudden everybody cares and they're watching closely.
All right, let's get as many calls as we can. We got some great ones on the line. Let's start with Gina. Gina is on line 7. She is first to weigh in, and you can too at 1-800-520-1067. All right, Gina, you get to decide. Is Cameron invited to the wedding? Does she get to come or not?
No, I don't think she should get to come simply because it's Jessica's big day, and if Cameron were to be there, it would take away some of the attention from Jessica. It'd be a distraction, and I think that's just kind of rude on Cameron's part. So it has nothing to do with being friends. It just has to do with this being Jessica's big day, and she wants all eyes on her.
Why would it take away attention from her? I'm sure that there are going to be lots of other celebrities in the audience that people are going to be noticing and looking at, too. I mean, that they have celebrity friends.
That's true, but everyone's going to start talking about, Cameron's here and they used to date, and it'll be another topic that people are focusing on as opposed to Jessica being the bride.
Yeah, I mean, they did date a long time.
Yeah, but she's Cameron Diaz. Jessica Biel has nothing to worry about.
It's not worry. It's just people will be distracted. They'll be talking about it.
Thank you,
all right,
Gina.
So Gina says it's junior high school all over again is what she says. All right, let's try Jennifer. Jennifer's on line 4. And let's remember before we hear what she has to say that all Jennifers are hot. So she gets a point. Hi, Jen.
Hi.
All right, what do you think?
I think that my honest opinion is that before you get married, you should be able to trust each other 100%. It's very important. And if she can't trust him enough just to have her as a friend, first of all, then that's an issue. And I think that it's not only her day. I agree that it's also his day. Most people only want to get married once. And if he wants a good friend to be there, then that should be okay. Yeah, the tabloids are going to, you know, have the story that she was there or whatnot, but they're still going to get the attention and the story and the spread in the mess.
So you think it's a trust issue, not a upstaging issue?
I personally do, yes.
All right.
Now, they did date for so long.
I agree with you, Jennifer, but I think Kevin brought up a good point, which is we don't know that she's saying you can't be friends with her. She's just saying you can't be friends with her and invite her to my wedding. That's what she's saying. Does that make a difference to you?
It's very true, very true. But so is that safe to say that she has no ex-boyfriends coming to the wedding?
Probably.
I would assume so. Or Justin's enough of a man that he can handle it.
And that's what I'm saying. So she should be okay with that.
She should man up.
She should man up. All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Caesar. He's on line 8. He's got a little bit of a personal story that kind of goes in line with what we're talking about here. Caesar, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hi,
good.
Lisa.
Hi.
So, yeah. I think they should invite whoever they want. It's both their day. My thing is, my girlfriend, we're going to get married next year, and my best man is going to be her ex-husband.
And are you friends with him?
Oh, yeah. He's my best friend.
Well, see,
bingo.
That's the difference.
He's your best friend. It's a completely different situation.
Yeah.
So, in other words, all the people involved... Her. All the people involved in your story are comfortable and happy with each other, which doesn't sound like that's the deal here. So maybe you guys just got lucky.
Yeah, I think so. Everybody thinks it's weird that me and him hang out, and you know,
it is. Don't get us wrong. That is weird.
Do you guys ever have that talk about that thing that you share in common?
No.
Okay, that's best. That is best. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Here's a couple from the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. Leslie says, F no. All those people who say you can just be friends with your ex are living in fantasy land. You're either going to have drama or sleep with them again. Having an ex to your wedding is just asking for a disaster. Well, Leslie's, that's just crazy, right? Here's a Twitter response to the @KevinandBean account. Friends and exes are not allowed at any wedding. You can't have someone there that you used to bang at your wedding. No way. So that does seem to be the consensus call here. Most people seem to be agreeing with Lisa and the others who are wrong. We only have time for let's try Melanie real quick. We don't have much more time, but she's on line 3. Let's see if we can squeeze her in. Hi, Melanie. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi. Thanks for answering, guys.
What do you think?
I think Jessica Biel is being absolutely ridiculous. I think that, you know, it's his day, too, and I don't understand why he can't have his friends there. I think she's being absolutely ridiculous.
I think, what if there's more to this story, though? Because it sounds like there might be. Lisa might be right in that Jessica Biel and Cameron Diaz might not be friends at all, or enemies, or catty, or whatever. You don't know what that relationship is like.
I mean, Jessica Biel is getting Justin Timberlake. I mean,
is Jessica Biel. She's already better than Cameron Diaz.
She already wins.
Wedding day, for God's
but
sake.
But it's his wedding day. It's his
wedding day, too.
He's allowed to attend, Bean. Let's not be ridiculous.
All right. We're going to have to leave it there. Thanks for all the calls. Rob's got the Showbiz Beat coming up next right here after this on the Kevin. This Week in Rage, our friend Adam Carolla joins us after the top of the hour.
I don't like batteries. Yeah. What's up with air? Why do everybody got to breathe that?
What's happening with water?
Ralph has the Showbiz Beat first. What's going on?
Oh, lots of good stuff going on. Not in the office, though.
What do you mean?
Boner doesn't like that song.
Oh, is that right?
Oh,
Boner was just whining up a storm during that.
Lisa's dog.
You guys play better music.
Why is Boner so sad? Why does Boner need to be taken away?
He's been crying a lot today.
Let's call the authorities, Ralph, while Lisa's in here.
I keep hearing him. He says, puppy-like.
Oh, he just wants sweet death.
He just wants sweet relief. Lisa keeps dragging him to hospitals and all kinds of crappy places that a dog doesn't want to be. And I think he's just had an asshole of life.
Her last two dogs all wanted the sweet release of death, too, you recall. They couldn't wait to get away from Lisa.
Life's a circus with Lisa. You got to do all this stuff. He just wants to sit at home.
To be busy.
He doesn't
want
to go to radio stations. Doesn't want to go to hospitals. He just wants to sit at home and lick himself. Leave him be.
Let him be
lick.
A dog,
you may have
Lisa.
A point.
Let him lick.
God,
you're like a pageant mom on
the
really? Show.
He's got to do all these tricks and visit people in hospitals and stuff. He just wants to go pee and eat. That's what he'd like to do. And poop once in a while.
All right, I will consider that.
The good news is, though, Boner in the other room did do a Kevining picture for us.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so we'll be putting that up on the website.
Good.
For those of you who haven't caught Kevining fever yet, it is sweeping the nation.
I don't know that it's a fever.
It is all of us looking at a photo that Kevin took of a poster for Arclight Cinemas. And for some reason, Kevin said, please use this photo of me where I look like special needs.
I didn't.
Special Olympics.
I said, don't use that one.
Bird watcher. Because he's looking up in the sky and his hands are sort of gnarled with his thumbs up. It's like he just won the Special Olympics spelling bee.
But it's not
spell B. That's the spelling bee Kevin won.
It's not like what I'm looking at is clear to me either. Like, I understand it all. I'm very confused in the photo.
So people around the world are Kevining now. They're taking their photos of them Kevining and sending it into the website. We got Sarah Shahi up there now. We got Jimmy Kimmel. We've got uniformed police officers of people all over the world. Thailand, Egypt.
Dana White.
It's just been remarkable. And now, of course, the Kevining dance craze is sweeping all the dance clubs. When you get out there on the dance floor, you start hearing this smash hit record.
Hey, boys and girls! Have you heard about the new sensation that's sweeping the nation? It's called Kevining, and I'm going to show you how. Well, first you have to think like a Kevin. Think like IQ minus 11. You're Kevining! You're Kevining! You're Kevining! You're Kevining! Then you have to get a stupid goofy face and make sure you stare into outer space. You're Kevining! You're Kevining! You're Kevining! You're Kevining! Then two thumbs up, and this is no joke. To finish it off, have a stroke! You're Kevining! You're Kevining! You're Kevining! You're Kevining!
I just had a stroke, don't mock me. You have not lived until you're like in a club in Vegas around 4 o'clock in the morning. You're watching everyone Kevining out on the dance floor. It's just, it's truly something to behold.
Yeah, sure is.
Looks like we have a new host for The X Factor. TMZ.com announcing that Simon Cowell has made his decision. He's gone to the Fox Network and said, I want Khloe Kardashian to be my new host.
I call bullcrap.
Nope.
For the first week.
Stop saying that. If she's the host, she's going to be the host for the whole season, please. At least. Not more than. Look, Nick Cannon has been hosting America's Got Talent for like 3 years.
That's a great point.
He's a terrible decision on their part.
The most worthless person on television.
He really is, and yet he keeps his job. So we'll wait and see. It looks like Fox will sign off sometime this week. We'll hear the official announcement from the network, but looks like it's good to go. Now, Kris Jenner's going to show up every week in the audience. They're going to have to cut to her, looking at her, and like applauding like they did when...
Yep.
What's her name was on Dancing with the Stars.
That's what it is. She probably guaranteed that Kim would come to every shooting.
Octomom's got a new house.
How'd she do that?
After multiple rejections from landlords, she has finally secured a new place to live in beautiful Palmdale, California.
Ooh. That's not far enough away.
It's a ways.
I don't know if you've ever driven there.
5 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, 3-car garage, and a 14,000-square-foot backyard.
Wow, a 14,000-square-foot backyard.
It's a gated dirt. Pool and spa. Look, you get out there in the hinterlands, you can get a pretty good house for a song.
Imagine that neighborhood has no idea what's coming.
Well, she may not have neighbors that close in Palmdale. Who knows?
Will the paparazzi bother to drive all the way up to Palmdale?
No.
Just
no.
Sit out in front of her
question.
House? Nope.
Place is only running her $2,150 a month. I guess she's renting.
Wow.
She paid 8 months rent in advance, according to TMZ, plus a giant deposit. That money came from, apparently, her solo masturbation video that she did for a bit.
Really?
Yeah.
That was successful?
Yeah, it did very well. So, see, boys and girls, that's the moral of the story. If you're having a hard time making ends meet, just have someone film you enjoying yourself and then release it. That's what I always say. While we're talking about porn, this troubles me. This disturbs me. I did the story last week about the Ben and Jerry porn parodies.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. About the two companies that had taken all the Ben and Jerry flavors and dummied up the covers to sort of look like the outside of their ice cream cartons and then did spoofs of those videos. Spoofs of those titles, rather, in their videos. The word came down today that those companies now are pulling all those off the shelves.
Is that
and
right?
Destroying them.
Lawsuit worked.
Yeah, but that's bad news.
Yeah.
Because, look, I understand that it's crap, but if you do parodies or things like that, you'd like to think that you are protected regardless of the quality of your content. And it's disturbing to me that a judge would find in favor of a company saying, you can't make fun of my product.
That was going to be my question. Did That's a judge weird. Find that, or are they pulling it off the shelves in anticipation of a bad ruling?
I think the judge did put a cease and desist order on them.
Just in the meantime.
In the meantime.
Right.
And maybe the companies are afraid of a protracted litigation situation where they don't want to pay lawyer fees for a long period of time.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
So either through legal bullying or an actual decision, it looks like there was a chilling effect put on this company, and so they're voluntarily pulling all the titles and destroying them. So.
I think they'd win if it got to court, but you're absolutely right. They may not have the resources to take it all the way.
That means I'm never going to be able to see peanut butter D cups. I'm never going to be able to see that.
That's true.
I'm never going to be able to see chocolate fudge babes. What about my rights, Ben and Jerry? I want to see a Boston cream thigh, but no. Thanks to you, now I never will. Bastards.
We knew when we elected a Muslim that this was where America was headed, though. We should have seen this
he's
coming.
Not Hussein.
He's not.
Hussein
on.
Obama.
He's
yeah. President Hussein. That's right.
Let's not go back there.
I don't like the socialism or the fascism or whatever it is. Whatever ism it is, that's bad. I don't like it.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
And where's the birth certificate? How about that? How about showing that, Barack? Not even American, and you're the president.
These are all jokes, people. Don't write us.
What's going on with this country? Hell in a handbasket. Hates fishing, hates farming, loves the gays.
Oh, yeah.
That's right, Hank. You tell him. Come on. All your rowdy friends have party on down. Whatever the hell that song was.
You know, they're the enemy. They're
right.
The enemy.
Yes, they are.
Who?
Them.
Oh. Obama.
Oh, Biden. Kevin?
Are you kidding? The Three Stooges.
Damn, Three Stooges. Both of those guys. All three. All both of them, the Three Stooges.
Son, never kick a cow turd on a hot day.
Right.
By the way, that's pretty good advice.
That's fun wisdom right there.
It's pretty good advice.
Yes, and it applies
not
to the political situation we live in.
Not even a little.
It helps clarify the murky depths of socio-political economics. Today's celebrity birthday is Ben Folds of the Five. He's 46 years old today.
Is the election over yet?
Nope.
Okay.
Louis C.K. is 45. Jason Statham is also 45 today. Paul Walker, 39 years old. Benjamin McKenzie. God damn it, I love that Southland TV show.
It's a good show.
34 years old. Reuben Studdard, also 34. Jennifer Hudson. She won an Oscar.
She did?
She did. She starred in American Idol and won an Oscar. She is 31 years old. Emmy Rossum celebrates her 26th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
I always look forward to talking to our good friend Adam Carolla, of course, the host of the Adam Carolla podcast. AdamCarolla.com is where you go for all the podcasts, live show information, including Wednesday, September 19th at the Irvine Improv. Tickets are on sale now, just $25 through AdamCarolla.com. And the book is called Not Taco Bell Material. Ace, how you been, man? What's going on?
Yeah, get it on.
Get it on! anything else you need to plug real quick before we get into This Week in Rage?
No, I got the book, got the website, the podcast, and Irvine. We're all good.
All right. It's all good indeed. All right, hit it, Steve.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting at three and working our way up to number one. Number three, ninjas. Had an ass full of the ninjas. What are we still hanging on to these ninjas for? My son is crazy for ninjas. Everything is a ninja move. First off, what are the chances he's going to grow up and become a ninja? Way less
zero.
Than 25%, right? Well, I don't want to say zero. I mean, there's a chance, but at less than 30%.
I'm reasonable. You're pretty safe.
Yeah, pretty safe. I mean, how many kids in his first grade class are going to make a living as a ninja? Five?
Probably only five.
Yeah, and there's 28 kids in that class.
Right. So it's not very good.
Saying.
Odds aren't so good.
Odds aren't good, and this whole ninja thing should have went away the second they invented the gun. Because hot sand in your face, not nearly as bad as a bullet through your temple. And here's what I want. I'm going to sit my son down. I'm going to show him a picture of Larry Flint and go, you see this guy? He could take out 10 ninjas if he had a gun in his lap. All right? So stop praising these people. They're of no good use to us anymore, yet they continue. It just goes on and on and on, every generation. All right, and next. I got some limo etiquette ideas that I think need to be instituted. I haven't
limo etiquette?
Limo. The back of the limo. I haven't been in a limo for a while. As a matter of fact, I don't know why, but somehow limos worse than a town car now, and I'm not sure why. I think there's too much sexing going on in the back, or there's weird 80s kind of stench going on in there. But a couple things. First off, that divider that goes between you and the driver,
right,
which is the best part about the limo, should always be up. Should always be up. Because you are a douche if you raise the thing up. You can't
True.
Raise the thing up.
Oh, because it's rude if he's already able to see you?
Yeah, if he's already there and you raise it. Now, yeah. A, it's rude to be up all the time, and then the guy should lower it and go, if you need anything, go ahead and lower it, but I'll just keep it raised up. That way you wouldn't seem like a narcissistic snob or blowhard when you raised it up halfway into the drive because you didn't want, you know, let's face it, a lot of these guys are of a certain ethnicity and, you know, you have feelings about
what is
ethnicity.
Wrong with you? Come on, Adam.
You want to have a casual talk. It's like that vodka commercial, you know? It's just you and a couple of friends drinking. You want to talk a little bit. That's all.
All right. That's good information to have. I doubt that I'll ever be in a limo, but if I am, I'm going to remember
right,
what you
well,
said there about
what
the
about,
thing.
But then you can agree on this. You must get rid of the mystery booze that comes in the fake crystal decanter in the side of the thing. And just either you put a bottle of Johnny Walker there or a bottle of Smirnoff there, or you don't. Don't put the booze in the weird glass container, and I don't know who's been in this thing, and God knows there's some guy in a, you know, who was in a prom, who probably put his pecker in there days earlier. You know what I'm saying? I don't want the booze. I don't want the mystery booze off the side. You put it in the bottle it came in, and I'm guessing it was a squeeze bottle, and it's like Outrigger rum from Dale's Jr. But you have the guts, because I always want to drink that booze, but I don't know if it's gin or if it's vodka or what's in there.
Yeah. Too sketchy. I agree. Yeah, they ought to make that thing. It ought to be clearly labeled. Ought to be original bottle. It ought to be sealed.
Yes, and the stereo that has all the push buttons, that's always up high where you can't see it, and you're sitting in the back, don't make the pop-off face, because I always hit the wrong button, and the whole face pops off and lands in my drink.
You have a lot of problems.
I got a lot of limo problems.
I didn't know it was so hard being in the 1% these days,
it's
Adam.
It's so difficult being me. And number one, I don't know, Kevin, I know you probably watched some of the games on Sunday.
Of course.
Kick off and everything. Bean, you were tending to your goats. But I've been screaming about this every year. It will happen. I don't know why they don't fix it. It's the fastest remedy in the NFL. The competition committee needs to look at this. They're putting cameras in the pylons on the corners of the goal, for Christ's sake. Raise the goal post upright. The very first game of the season, I was watching the Redskins. The guy kicked a 37-yard field goal. It went right over the top of the post.
Yep, and then the ref has to guess.
Then you have to guess, and then the 65-year-old with cataracts and vertigo looks straight up, gets a little bit dizzy, grabs for his bag, and says it's good, but he has no way of knowing it's good. It's not reviewable, and even when you see it from three different angles, you couldn't tell if that ball was good. It's going 70 miles an hour, went directly over the top of the post. They clear the post by 5 feet, get some thin wall steel, and extend it 8 feet, end of problem. But
this does happen once a weekend.
And they won't. Why won't they do something about it?
I don't know.
That's a fantastic question.
Would this be the easiest fix? It is 5-inch wide, thin-walled steel. You just weld it on there and extend it another 6 feet, and the problem is solved.
Yeah, it's not like you're asking them to change the shape of the playing field or something. It doesn't have any other effect except for the fact that in the event that it's kicked too high, it's easier to see whether it's good or not. That's it. That's nothing but a win.
And it's not like the players' unions are going to go, F this. No way. We're not going along with this. No, it'd be the easiest fix in the world, and it makes for the most exciting play in football when it hits the goalpost and either caroms in or falls to the ground. Yeah. That is a great play. And we'd be seeing that once a week because these guys have way too much leg now.
Yeah.
And they're kicking over the top of it. Why don't they do this? What?
No, I don't. Look, we have Siciliano on all the time from the NFL Network. We will put the question to him when we talk to him again in a couple of days here, because that's a great question. Why has that piece of technology not changed since the 1910s when obviously humans are stronger and kicking further? Absolutely.
Thank you very much. And if they want, I could send a couple of my mech boys over and we could retrofit every stadium for like $80.
I know. You can take care of it in an overnight.
One Adam trip Carolla, to Home Depot.
AdamCarolla.com is the website where you want to go for all things Ace Man, including his upcoming date at the Irvine Improv. Don't miss him on stage Wednesday, September the 19th. Buy the book, not Taco Bell material as well. It's hilarious. Thanks, Adam. Kelly Covey from Orange, by the way, won those tickets to see Rise Against along with the Gaslight Anthem. More on the way from the world-famous K-Rock, and you can get some at K-Rock.com as well. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Kelly Covey.
Kelly Covey does good work.
A real person.
He or
she.
She's
making names up now.
American Pie actress Tara Reid's upset.
Why?
She recently had photos of her appear on the internet, as often happens with Tara Reid. Usually
that
her
she
boobs
good.
Hanging out. Usually
yeah,
her boobs
a
hanging
slip.
Out. But in this particular case, it was her underwear that was shown as she was climbing off of a motorcycle.
Yeah!
I'm sorry.
That's hot!
Not a motorcycle, it was a motorcycle. She's very upset because she claims that paparazzi pushed her off the motorcycle.
What?
To get the pictures of her falling down and flashing her underwear.
I just got an erection.
X17 Online posted the shots, and TMZ published the video of Tara and a female friend appear to be climbing on the bike and then falling off, flashing Tara's underwear in the process. She went on Twitter this week and said, TMZ are liars, and they are always against me. They pushed us down. That's why I fell.
Don't you see how we fell? It's a setup.
Obviously.
Look how it's edited. They only showed you after they knocked us down in front of our own boat. It's so wrong. I will defend us this time 100%.
That is so weak.
Yeah. That's why I was covering my face. I knew I was getting set up. So unfair. It's totally not right. I have finally had it. Stop picking on me.
The lady has foolishly attempted to join the conversation with a wild and dangerous opinion of her own.
That's right. So shame on you, TMZ, for pushing poor Tara Reid off that motorcycle.
That's absurd.
I wonder if they pushed a half a gallon of cheap vodka down her throat first before they pushed her off the motorcycle.
I mean, it is hard for her to claim that when you look at all of the other mishaps she's had throughout the years where TMZ wasn't even around.
Sometimes you get the reputation you deserve in life,
yep.
Kevin. So tonight's the big night. Premiere of X Factor.
Woohoo.
Nope, that title.
Oh,
that title. That title.
Britney Spears debuts as a judge of other people who sing.
Oh, Fox, you're rich.
Meanwhile, she has settled her sexual harassment lawsuit with her former bodyguard, Fernando Flores. Fernando said she was constantly coming on to him when he was her bodyguard. She would repeatedly expose herself. She would have flings with men and women in his presence and was negligent with her children. No word on
how. He's suing over that?
He did sue over that.
Hmm.
The lawsuit apparently has been settled out of court. Brittany denied everything, but says she settled in order to get rid of the case. So Fernando's a richer man. I wish we had gone to trial. I would like to have
Me
heard
too.
The details. Even if they weren't true, I would have laughed.
Not that they usually spill the beans because of the non-disclosure agreements, but I bet there must be tons of celebrity assistants who have similar stories of things that they've seen, ways that they've been treated, the crazy behavior from the people they work for.
Write it down.
Has to happen all the time.
Write it down. It's our phone topic. You were a personal assistant and you saw weird S.
Well, we could only do that if we didn't name the celebrities.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't need to know who the celebrity was. I would love to hear some of the stuff they were subjected to, though.
And then we'll take one
just
guess on who we think it is.
In general. Maybe it's not even a celebrity. Maybe it's just somebody who's rich who's got a personal assistant who makes them do bizarre things or they witness weird things going on in that working arrangement. Can you imagine what Kevin's assistant could tell us?
We've talked to Linus. He tells us what it's
That's what I'm saying. We should talk to Linus. There must be some weirder stuff.
Kevin always makes his assistant Linus line up a blimp and then go throw gold coins out to the poor people. It's weird.
Or he throws poor people out of the gondola onto gold coins. I've heard that too.
I've heard both.
Yeah.
I'm very confused.
David Bowie's in the news. For a guy who has retired from the entertainment industry, Bowie sure gets a lot of coverage. I guess it's because now he's sort of a recluse. No one really sees or hears from him anymore that his legend is looming even larger.
I don't remember the last time there was a photograph of David Bowie.
I don't either. He, by all accounts, has retired from public life. However, it's not stopping the Victoria and Albert Museum in London from doing a new exhibition about Bowie. It's called David Bowie Is, and it features original album artwork from his storied career, diary entries from Bowie's own hand, handwritten lyrics, sketches of set pieces and costumes that he wore throughout his colorful career. 60 of the costumes will actually be on display as well at the museum starting March 2013 is when the exhibit will open. But people, what we're really talking about is the legendary Ziggy Stardust jumpsuit. This was the famous jumpsuit he wore on the cover of the Ziggy Stardust album and also wore it on stage while he was performing in his persona of Ziggy Stardust. The jumpsuit said it's getting the most attraction of the entire collection, and people really want to see it up close and in person. Now, Bowie is legendarily reclusive these days, but we did manage to reach out for him and ask him if he had a comment about the jumpsuit being on exhibit. And here's what Bowie had to say.
My jumpsuit's on exhibit. My jumpsuit's on exhibit.
So there he confirms that...
My jumpsuit's on exhibit.
Confirming the fact that his
jumpsuit... My jumpsuit's on exhibit.
Jumpsuit will be on exhibit.
My jumpsuit's on exhibit.
Albert and Victoria.
My jumpsuit's on exhibit.
London, March 2000.
My jumpsuit's on exhibit. My jumpsuit's on exhibit. My jumpsuit's on exhibit.
It will happen.
It's a suit I used to jump in.
Right.
I jump in this here jumpsuit. Now that jumpsuit's on exhibit.
tired of the show.
Once I jumped in that suit.
Understood.
My jumpsuit's on exhibit. Yeah. It's a jumpsuit and it's on exhibit. I put the suit on and then I jump.
Right, we got it.
That jumpsuit's on exhibit.
All right,
that was,
wanna see my jumpsuit? Well, you can.
I don't really
it's
want.
Now on exhibit.
I don't want to see really it.
It's a suit I used to jump in.
Okay.
I think we understand
it. It is a jumpsuit. And
for a guy who doesn't want to sing anymore, he sure got a lot to say whenever you got to forget.
Sadly, he doesn't
say.
Have a lot to say.
No,
that's
he
the
doesn't.
Problem. I think he ran out of things to say.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Ben Folds, 5, is 46 years old today. Louis C.K. celebrates his 45th birthday. Jason Statham, from the Mechanic and Transporter films and The Expendables, 45 years old. Paul Walker from the Fast and Furious, 39. You know, they're making another one. They're making another Fast and Furious.
Are they?
Yeah.
What are we up to now? 4, 5?
18. I think it's the 18th
okay.
Fast and Furious film. Benjamin McKenzie, originally from the OC, now on Southland, 34 years old today. We've had him in the show a bunch of times. What a nice guy he is.
He's great.
Love when him and...
the other guy, the big guy.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah. Him. Come on.
He got it.
What's that?
Cudlitz.
Michael Cudlitz. That's it, yeah. When he comes in. They're good guys. Reuben Studdard is... 34.
The only time we can't get Muggs to speak up loud enough.
He actually knows something.
That's what he's trying
he
to
hold, He withholds it and then says it softly. The only time we don't want him to get out of our ears.
Right. Most of the time we're begging him to shut up. Now we have to say what?
Huh?
Louder? By the way, you mentioned Reuben Studdard. I meant to bring this up earlier. I don't think he even has a record contract anymore.
He was the winner.
He's one of those idol winners who 5 years later, who even remembers him? It's not like you're necessarily set up for life. It's an opportunity to do something with, but it doesn't always work out that now you've got a career.
He was the cuddly teddy bear.
Yes, he was. And he was very talented. I mean, he's the one who won over Clay Aiken, who went on to have a much more successful career. But I think he's essentially out of the music business now.
Jennifer Hudson, she didn't win American Idol, but she did all right for herself.
Yeah.
Won an Oscar. And
I think the key is to come in second, third, or fourth.
Lost a ton of weight. Yeah, good things happen to people who don't win, apparently. 31 years old, and Emmy Rossum, who you can see on Shameless on Showtime with the William H. Macy. So good on that show. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We're going to talk to Dr. Drew, as we do on Thursdays, about stuff. We have Petros Papadakis on the program.
Petros is going to be here.
Really? There's a at the end of here?
Nope.
Turns out not. W. Kamau Bell is going to be on the program. He's got a new TV show called Totally Tired.
What did you just... What happened?
You heard me, W. Kamau Bell.
All right.
What the f*** did Kevin say? What the f*** did Kevin say? What the f*** did Kevin just say?
Wow, Bowie's losing it.
Come out, Bell. He sounds worse than ever. And Bean has more highlights of Honey Boo Boo Child or whatever.
Yeah!
Why does Bean suck so bad? Why does Bean suck so bad?
Bowie needs some auto-tune.
Why does Bean suck so badly?
It may have been an early David Bowie take.
There's some acetate. Deep cuttings.
We need maybe to re-jigger that one.
Re-record.
Yeah. Hey, watch it with the language again.
Jeez.